I think you were in a past life, I'd be like, oh, like a queen or something. Like, I don't want to hear an angel. That's no, not a
she
person.
Said, she said, and she was like, that's she said, she was like, do you want to know who you were in a past life?
Nope. Show's over.
Good morning. Okay, well, I guess we're wrapping up. But she said that, and then I was like, yeah, I guess. And she's like, you're not going to believe me. Yeah. Okay.
You're like, you're right. I don't believe
For
you.
For real. Anywho, on that wonderful spiritual note, I guess this is the end of our show.
It's been a crazy show. This is the end of Two Toilets, One Step for now.
Yeah.
To be possibly continued.
TBD. Let's see what form we take next quarter.
See what the universe sends the message to KWS.
For real. I guess we'll never know. Good morning.
Can you maybe pull some strings from your past life?
But I anyways. Know. Let me phone a friend. Call in a favor. Okay.
All right. Well, good morning, Davis. We're out.
Bye.
Welcome to America China Talk, or ACT, which is a platform established at UC Davis to promote dialogues between these two cultures. So this program is also called ACT, and I hope you will come to our events. I am the host, Michelle Ye, and I teach in the Department of East Asian Languages and Cultures at UC Davis. So this morning is a great pleasure to welcome our guest, Professor June Paltzer from UC Davis, and she is a neuropsychologist. And I must confess that she's the only neuropsychologist I know and call a friend. So thank you so much, June, if I may call you June, to America China Talk. Thank you so much.
So thank you so much, Professor Ye, for having me.
Michelle. Yes. So I guess I'd like to start out by asking you to describe your work as a neuropsychologist. I am a literature professor, as you know. So for me, neuropsychologist is something very, very unfamiliar. So I'm sure some of our listeners are also unfamiliar with this field. So can you tell us about what you do as a neuropsychologist?
Sure, I will try. So neuropsychology is a subspecialty within psychology. It is a study of brain behavior relationship. And I am both an adult and a pediatric neuropsychologist. So for that, we usually go to school in psychology. We get a PhD in psychology first. Then we have 2 years postdoctoral fellowship, or we do a 2 year postdoctoral fellowship in general or adult neuropsychology. Then we do 1 year pediatric neuropsychology fellowship. Mm. So we go to school forever.
Yes.
Therefore, here comes my joke that we're the true nerdo psychologists. We're nerds.
I see. That's very interesting. So the 2 years in, as a postdoc, right, plus a third year in either general neuropsychology or adult neuropsychology.
Oh, no, sorry, I confused you. Sorry. Oh. First 2 years are in general.
General. And then
also known as adult neuropsychology.
Okay. Okay, I see.
And then you do it one additional year in pediatric neuropsychology.
I see. Okay. All right. So why did you become interested in neuropsychology and how did you decide to enter this field?
So I was in neuroscience first, actually. Mm. So actually, if I can go back a little bit, when I was in undergraduate, I actually studied biophysics. And with biophysics, you have to participate in a research area. At that time, the professors at UC Berkeley were studying the brain, especially monkeys' brains. So they recruited me. And then with that, I got into graduate school in neuroscience at Cornell. I was there for about a year. But then when I had to work with a lot of monkeys and cut their brains, the blood freaked me out. Well, I can tell from Michelle's facial expression, she has compassion for me. So that was kind of scary. So I was struggling with that. My professors and other wonderful members of the laboratory, so other mm-hmm. scientists, suggested to me that, June, you have a very social disposition, you like people. And at that time, so that was back in late 1980s, oh, early 1990s, yeah. Mm-hmm. They were aware of neuropsychology. At that time, neuropsychology was just growing. So they suggested that to me. So have you thought about neuropsychology? You can still do science. Mm-hmm. And so that's the foundation of neuropsychology. Actually, it's the science and psychometrics. So we use testing to study the brain, and we focus on function. That means what the person can do, right? So my friends at that time told me that you can still enjoy neuroscience while working with people.
Mm.
So that's how I got into the field of neuropsychology.
So as a neuropsychologist, you have to do research as well as clinical work? Is that correct?
That's great question. So yes. So I can talk about my current job and my daily activities.
Mm-hmm.
So currently I work 1 day a week at UC Davis Medical School's neurology department. So, and actually this might give you an even better picture of what I do. My colleagues actually are neurologists, neuroradiologists, neuro-ophthalmologists, neuropathologists. So we're all nerds, you know, neurospecialists, and nurses, speech therapists, physical therapists, occupational therapists, social workers, and support staff.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't really work with psychotherapists because mm-hmm. we're not psychotherapists.
Right.
And the patients we see, so we have two types of patients. So this is a simple explanation. One type of patients come in for diagnosis and treatment, mm-hmm. right? So typically they come with concerns over Alzheimer's disease, other types of dementia. So did you know that there are at least 25 different types of dementia?
Wow.
Yeah, that's where the research part comes in. But mm-hmm. I'll stay with the patient care first.
Mm-hmm.
Remember I said that there are two types of patients we work mm-hmm. with. So the number one is the type who are coming in wanting to know what kind of diagnosis they might have. So they can help, right? The family members can help the patients, right? So the diagnosis concerns they have are Alzheimer's, other types of dementia, epilepsy, brain injury, concussion, brain tumor, also known as brain cancer, multiple sclerosis, lupus, and so on. Okay. And some of those patients are so gracious. They want to become our research participants. That means that when they come, they not only get a diagnosis for themselves and receive treatment, they participate in additional testing to see if they have, say, subtypes of symptom presentation that might be pertinent to other types of diagnosis. So they can, in a way, indirectly help other patients. So to answer your question again, yes, both research and clinical work.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Am I answering your question so far?
Yes, yes, very well. So in terms of treatment, are we talking about different types of treatment? For instance, medication, but also other types?
Yes. So depending on the diagnosis or specific condition a patient has, right? So they can receive medication treatment,
mm-hmm.
or some of them need physical therapy.
Yes.
Right? For example, people who have movement disorders, including Parkinson's, right, mm-hmm. and Huntington's, they often need physical therapy. And some patients need occupational therapy. So I'll quickly explain the difference. Definitely what a physical therapist and the occupational therapist do sometimes overlap.
Mm.
But in general, at the medical center, we divide by the waist. Anything that's above the waist goes to the department of occupational therapy. So for example, I myself had two big babies. My husband's kind of big. So my babies were big. So I hurt my arms and my wrist a little bit. So I went to occupational therapy for about 15 sessions to help me with my hands and my arm. So mm-hmm. that's occupational therapy. Some of our patients need occupational therapy. And whereas a physical therapist helps a patient with moving. So far, how am I doing?
Very clear, very clear. So you mentioned that you work with both adults and children.
Yes.
Do you have any preference for one of the groups, or it's all the same to you, or which group poses more challenges for you as a neuropsychologist?
Okay. So for me, age does not make much of a difference.
Oh.
The most challenging part is when a patient and her or his, so a patient or their family members disagree in terms of what they want to do. So they can disagree with regard to the diagnosis and or to the treatment choices that they may have. I wanted to share something really fun about my job is that I know that the general perception of a doctor is that when we see a doctor, right? When we go to see a doctor, the doctor's there to help us to identify what's wrong with us, right? So the doctor can help us to alleviate our pain. Am I right? I learned from working with children that that's not sufficient to look for what's wrong in a patient. We must also look for what's right in a patient.
Mm-hmm.
So I apply that actually in my adult and my geriatric patients too. So I look at the whole person, not just what's wrong with you when you're coming in to see me. Of course, we want to help to identify what is wrong with the patient. So all the treatment providers I just mentioned, right? The physicians, physical therapists, occupational therapists, and speech therapists can all help the patient. But also, if we know the smarts, talents, and strength of a patient, those are also very important. So to answer your question from earlier, I like to think I actually work with the Mensa population. You know, I see everybody as Mensa and talented, right? We all have smarts.
Yes.
So with children, their challenges tend to be attention issues, specific learning issues, right? Such as dyslexia, which, by the way, you probably already know is the most common type of learning disability. And then some of them have the so-called autistic spectrum issues. And with adults, I mentioned adults diagnosis earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And then after we are complete with the evaluation, we meet as a team to decide what's the best treatment course for the patient and what the family or how the family can help the patient. Okay, I'll stop.
No, that's very interesting. So this holistic approach, it sounds very refreshing.
Oh, okay.
Is that something new in your psychology? In other words, taking this kind of approach to a patient, right? Not only finding the problem, but also, as you put it, smarts, right? The talents and the positive attributes and so on. Is that innovative in the field of neuropsychology or always been there?
I like to think it has always been there.
Okay.
Yeah. And then that's one of the things that drew me, that made me fall in love with neuropsychology.
Mm-hmm.
So I look at the whole person.
Right. I see. Okay, that's good to know. Can you say a little bit about your own cultural background? Because I know you are more than just one single culture, right?
Yes.
So the way you have grown up, right? Yes. You have traveled a great deal and so on. So how does that affect your work as a neuropsychologist?
Oh, okay. Oh, I love that question. So I was born in Taiwan. And although ethnically I'm Chinese because my parents were born in China.
Mm-hmm.
So they were born in Beijing and Shandong. And then they moved to Taiwan. But I won't go into the historical background.
Sure.
Okay. Well, I know Professor Ye is very familiar with the history of China in general. And then because of my father's occupation as a diplomat for Taiwan, I actually grew up in different countries. I won't be boring you with all places I lived in, but I will discuss the impact of that on me. So I actually was just talking about this with my coworkers in neurology the other day. Because I had to move like every 3 to 4 years-ish, it kind of helped me to value my friendship more. So I'm very, very proud of my heritage. I have stayed in touch with at least the Chinese literature. So before I brag about the four classics that I have read. so in the Chinese literature, right, we have four classics. I'm going to have to say them in Chinese a little bit, right?
It's entirely up to you.
They're kind of hard to talk about in English. So I've read all four of them.
Okay.
Although I have to say, Shui Hu Zhuan is really hard to read, just because of the ending of the story, and also how far away the culture is, right? Bei Song, the Li Shi, right?
So for our listeners, this is Water Margin, and yes. Another translation is All Men Are Brothers or something.
Yes.
So it's a classic Chinese novel.
So that one's hard to read, but the other three are easier to read. Mm-hmm. Perhaps they're more famous. So my favorite is Honglomong, Chamber mm-hmm. of the...
Yes, the Dream of the Red Chamber.
Mm-hmm. Dream of the Red Chamber. Yeah, thank you, Professor Ye. And then Sanguo Yanyi. Mm-hmm. So that kingdom?
Three kingdoms, yes.
Right, it's so a romance.
The romance of the three kingdoms.
Three kingdoms. Yeah. And the other one, Shiyouji.
Mm-hmm. Journey to the West.
Journey to the West, yes.
The abridged translation is The Monkey. Yes.
The Monkey, yes. I was just trying to think this morning, who wrote Shiyouji? I can't remember now.
Oh, Wu Chengen.
Wu Chengen, yes, thank you. Okay, that's right. Cao Xueqing, Luo Guanzhong, Wu Chengen, Shi Nai'an.
Yes.
I just said that also. I'm just bragging about how proud I am my culture.
So okay. Yes, so you are well-versed in Chinese culture as well, as so many other cultures you've been exposed to since you lived in different parts of the world. Does that multicultural background help you as a neuropsychologist?
I like to think so, and I feel very indebted to my culture. Again, very proud and grateful when I work with patients who are from not only the Chinese culture, but other Asian cultures, and even some European cultures. I find myself with this experience or sensitivity or respect for their individual culture and how their culture and history have shaped them. Thereby, I give them an opportunity to talk about how they see themselves as a product, right, of their own culture. Does that make sense?
So this is sensitivity to the patient's cultural background. Is that common among your psychologists, or you are really one of the few who pay special attention to it?
Oh, okay. So thank you for bringing it up. I like to see myself as a team player. Mm-hmm. I know some of my colleagues who are very good neuropsychologists, neuroscientists, who might be from a monolingual and monocultural background, but nevertheless, they too have the sensitivity mm-hmm. and intelligence to realize that, you know, we owe our products of our own culture. So they start a conversation with me mm-hmm. and that gives me opportunity, right, to share with them, to show off a little bit, but also to learn from them, right? So so I've been in the United States for 40 years. I just had my 40-year anniversary in August.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Thinking back, I've learned from my colleagues who are from here, but have their own, right, their own cultural pride mm-hmm. and cultural learning that they're willing to share with me. So I feel really fortunate to be in that circle of support, mm-hmm. to have that circle of support. Mm-hmm.
So looking ahead, how do you see the field of neuropsychology evolving?
So that's a very good question. So as you know, neuroimaging, which mm-hmm. we utilize too. So like I said, I work along the side of neuroradiologists too. We usually meet about once a month to talk about regular patients and research participants. So neuroimaging is growing, so is neuroscience. So with both growing technologically, I believe neuropsychology is also moving ahead. Additionally, because we are now in a more multicultural environment, and language plays a very important part, right, of our assessment. So hopefully, neuropsychology is also growing towards a more multicultural and multilingual direction.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any contact with neuropsychologists in the Chinese-speaking world?
Yes, actually,
Taiwan or Hong Kong.
Yeah. So actually, last weekend, I spoke to a neuropsychologist in Beijing. He was here and completed his fellowship training, but for family reasons and also somewhat related to the pandemic, he had to return to Beijing. And he was hoping to come back here. So I chatted with him last week. And oh, did you know the neuropsych conference? There was a neuropsych conference that occurred in Taiwan last year.
Oh, I didn't
Yeah.
know that.
Yeah, so that was quite I was actually the official translator for it.
Wow.
Unfortunately, the last minute, my parents were really worried because Speaker McCarthy made a trip to Taiwan. So my parents really didn't want me to go. So and many participants were not able to physically go. So we just had the conference remotely. Is that how you say it? Remotely.
Yes. Okay. That's good. Did you enjoy that conference on
Oh,
Zoom?
very much so. Yeah. And we had many, many scientific posters. So
I see.
I had a blast.
So for the young people among our listeners, how would you advise them or encourage them about entering the field of neuropsychology? Why would they be interested in doing that?
Oh, okay. So I would say that the field of neuropsychology is awaiting you. We are awaiting more excellent scientists and investigators who want to expand our field. I think it's an exciting field. Personally, because of my own background in neuroscience, I like to see continued emphasis on science. Sorry, science and technology. I think we should collaborate with researchers in neuroimaging and neuroscience and neuropsychology to keep moving forward. It would be really nice to also incorporate culture and language as much as we can. So we all work as a team.
So you would encourage young people, of course, to excel in sciences, but also to actually maybe learn some languages.
Oh yeah, if they can, definitely. Yeah.
Multilingualism is very helpful for
It's
this.
very helpful. Yes.
I see. I see. So is that also a trend that's becoming more and more important? Because you did mention that some of your colleagues are multilingual. Some are monolingual, but do you think the trend is toward multilingualism?
I think the trend is probably no more different, not much more different from the general society,
I see.
right? If the general society is going towards more diverse phenomena, then the field of neuropsychology needs to catch up too.
I see. So is America becoming more multilingual?
Oh yeah, well, you might know better because you're the
Because I'm in
expert.
languages, yes. I see. But in your contact with patients, for instance.
Oh, good question. So I would say I'm seeing more and more Chinese patients, more in Mandarin though. Maybe because Mandarin is the official dialect
Yes,
for
yes.
China and Taiwan.
And Cantonese speakers, how
There's
about?
some Cantonese speakers. Doesn't Cantonese contain other sub-dialects too? Like Siyi, Sanyi, Wuyi, right? Kaiping, Enping, they have different sub-dialects. So,
I see what you're saying. Yes.
I'm definitely seeing more Chinese patients, and also in our medical school, we have a big Ukraine community. So sometimes we see Ukrainian, or we see patients who speak Ukrainian and or Russian actually in
Yes,
Sacramento area.
in Sacramento, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. I think we have so much to learn from June Paltzer, and I want to thank her for spending the time with us this morning. And I definitely love to invite you back to tell us more about neuropsychology as you practice it, right? Maybe giving us more stories about your experience. We'd love to hear that. I really want to thank you, June, for coming to this show. this morning, and I look forward to talking with you more.
Thank you, Professor Ye.
Thank you. And I also want to thank our listeners for tuning in, and have a nice day. And I look forward to, talking with you next month.
Here at KDVS, we're searching for a few public affairs hosts.
Imagine talking on air with underrepresented communities,
reviewing movies,
or even singing live karaoke. In case you're wondering, anyone is eligible.
And as you can tell, the possibilities are endless.
If you're interested, please email us at programming@kdvs.org.
If you're a UCD undergrad and are having any legal issues, then ASUCD Legal Services may be the solution for you, offering domestic or civil legal assistance. To receive a consultation, all you have to do is take your Aggie card to the Student Services Office at 347 Memorial Union. Once there, an appointment will be made for you to speak with a licensed attorney via phone. For more info, please call the Student Services Office at 530-752-1990.
This is Darby Conley, creator of the comic strip Get Fuzzy. Every animal that's born deserves a good life, whether he's a sweet guy like my satchel Pooch or a more unique individual like Bucky Cat. If you care about animals, please spay or neuter your pet and support the efforts of Yolo County Animal Shelter and your local SPCA.
You can reach the Yolo County Animal Shelter at 530-668-5287 and the Yolo County SPCA at 530-758-7722.
My name is of no consequence. The important thing you should know is that I am the last who remembers how each of us, man and woman, made his own decision. Some chose to take refuge in the great caverns and find a new way of life far below the Earth's surface.
Plunge into the dark with the Metal Morlocks. Friday nights, starting at 8 p.m. with The Pirate at 10 p.m. and Blasphemer at midnight. Metal that will eat your ears alive.
You're listening to KDVS Davis, 90.3 FM. This is the Emo Princess. Co-host DJ Crush should be here shortly. But we're just going to jump into the music in the meantime. This is our show, Club Siberia. Thanks so much for tuning in. The theme for today's show is angst. So we have like emo K-pop ballads, emo like Japanese rock, a lot of like, well, not a lot, but we have some Pierce the Veil and My Chemical Romance, even some Metallica picked out by DJ Crush, and some archival stuff that we're really excited for. So I'm just really excited for this set. Like, angst is so fun, and DJ Crush and I have been listening to this set a lot in the past like day as we've made it, just because it's really good. So I hope you all enjoy. If at any point during the show you want to call in and request an angsty song or talk about our angst, you can always call in at 530-754-5387. Again, the station number is on our website, kdvs.org, and throughout the show, we will be updating our show playlist on that website as well. So thank you all again so much for tuning in, and I really hope you enjoy the set.
세상에 남겨진 것 같지